You're listening to From Heaven and Hope, a weekly podcast where Nicole Frazier brings you conversations from those who have been affected by grief. Whether a parent, child, friend, counselor, pastor, or philanthropist, everyone moves through and conquers grief in their own way. We know that what you're facing is a long road, but no matter how dark that road is, there will always be light. There will always be purpose. From where they are in heaven to the hope you need to move forward, we want to help you on that journey. Here is today's episode.
Hello, everyone. Happy June. Thanks for joining me today. I'm excited you're here because we have Dr. Carly Wendler here with us today. She's going to share a little bit about her own grief journey, as well as some tips and tricks from a naturopath perspective when thinking about your grief journey and how you can heal yourself physically and emotionally. So take a listen. It's really enlightening and I think something that everybody could find practicality and help in. So here we go.
Hi, Carly. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Nicole?
I'm good. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're here today, what you're bringing to the podcast today?
Well, I'm a naturopathic doctor. I've been in practice for 15, going on 16 years. I'm a mom as well. And I have some recent and past personal experience with some grief and loss. So when you invited me to be a part of your show, I thought it'd be a great opportunity to blend my personal journey that I'm walking through now with my professional experience in supporting people naturopathically in general, but in times of grief, sadness, conflict, and trauma.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to share a little bit about your personal journey before we kind of get into your area of expertise, which is naturopathic medicine?
Right. So last year, my sister, my younger sister, Heidi, died quite suddenly in June. She had a history of a life more of as a nomad. She didn't like to be tied down. She was very wild and free, and she had a history of substance abuse and mental health issues. And as a result of a bunch of different events and experiences coming together, she died suddenly last summer of a drug overdose.
Wow.
Shortly after my sister's passing, my sister-in-law, 7 weeks later, lost her struggle with cancer. And so she had died in August of brain cancer that had metastasized.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's heavy. A lot in a really short amount of time, a lot to manage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In your personal journey, have there been things over the last year that have been helpful for you? Therapy, things people said or did, or anything that you found particularly valuable?
I think in my sister's passing, the thing that really has given me comfort, both acutely and then still now, months later, coming up on a year, is hearing about the impact her life had on other people. Really had no idea the incredible gifts my sister had to offer people hope and light where she couldn't find that herself. So there were hundreds and hundreds of people posting about her life and their connections with her. Some people hardly knew her but had an experience, a positive experience. So I think just knowing that she had a purpose here, and unfortunately her time was up, but she did in fact use it wisely to impact other people. And I was just amazed. So knowing that she had a positive impact on other people has given me the most comfort.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really nice that people, it's a way of keeping her memory alive too, right? Just sharing stories and feeling connected to her probably in a different way than maybe you knew too.
Yeah, I really had no idea of what she was capable of. And I don't think she knew either about the impact that she had on people when she was Earthside. So yeah. I hope you can see that wherever she is now, that yeah. She was important to a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. When you think about what was helpful, was there anything that was not particularly helpful that people said or did, or that you tried and didn't work, or?
Nothing specific that comes to mind. I think my experience with losing my sister and my sister-in-law has been very different because of the pandemic experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of things that I might have experienced, like a funeral, a memorial, which we didn't have, may have had me, I would have had more contact with other people that maybe I would have found out more things that worked or didn't. Right. So I kind of still feel stunted and stuck in the grief process because of all of the pandemic stuff at this time. So there's nothing really specifically that I can say hasn't helped at this point.
Right. And how have you been managing then without kind of the physical support of perhaps other people, or being able to even have, I don't know if closure is the right word, but something to sort of give them both as a way to say thank you? And
I've really been focusing on, as much as I can, my own health. I have two young children, 10 and 7-year-old, and they need me. Mm-hmm. So making sure that I'm treating my body as best as I can. I'm not perfect, but it's non-negotiable for me to exercise. So I maintain that 4 times a week. My physical fitness is really tied to my mental well-being. I make sure that I go to bed 9:30 and I panic that it's late. So getting good quality restful sleep, getting into nature, is really important for me too. And I'm really starting to walk a more spiritual path. So I've never really been very spiritual. I was raised in a religious school, a Catholic school, but I can't ever say I've practiced, but it's kind of pivoted to more spiritual journey. So I'm seeking out more healers outside of my comfort zone. And that's kind of helping me move forward too.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. The same thing happened to me actually after sort of a big loss. That's when I found my faith, I would say, because I didn't grow up in a particularly religious household. So interesting. In your professional experience, like moving on to sort of where your expertise is professionally, what do you know, what are some modalities that might be helpful for people that are struggling with grief and maybe the physical and mental pain that one might subsequently experience?
I think probably a blend of a lot of my modalities. Mm-hmm. I would say for sure, I think the quote easiest thing for people would be something like the more energetically based medicine that takes more effect on an emotional plane. So homeopathic medicine,
mm-hmm.
help move through stages. So it's not a suppressive type of approach where we're trying to suppress grief, sadness, trauma, any type of emotion, but we're trying to help the body move through it so that we're not getting stuck. So homeopathy, I think, is a great, easy option. It's not very labor intensive at all. And I would include the Chinese medicine and acupuncture realm as well. It does have an effect on the physical body, but there's a very big emotional component as well. And I've seen that in people, not super often, but on the acupuncture treatment table, and they just start crying. Or I come in at the end and they're crying and I'm, you know, asking what's going on, how are they feeling? And they just say, I don't know. I've just had this release of emotions. I don't know where it came from. I walked in here happy. So there's a much bigger process to the effect of acupuncture than just sticking needles in. Mm-hmm. It's meant to, again, release those emotions as well.
Yeah.
So it's probably the two easiest because we don't have to do a lot of work when we're in those moments of grief or places of loss, mm-hmm. but certainly paying mind to a healthy bedtime, you know, making sure you're eating nutritiously, but often those kind of take a back burner when you're in the acute stages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. The mental piece is the biggest piece in the beginning. But I know sometimes, I mean, at least in my case, like grief triggered a lot of fear and anxiety later on after I moved through that about my own health. It sort of started to feel like, you know, the impossible has happened. So now it's going to happen to me again. So what happened to me was I I had caused myself so much panic and stress kind of from nothing and started clenching my jaw. And that was creating like prolonged headaches, which to me was like, oh, immediately I have a brain tumor for sure. Like that's definitely what's happening. But, you know, with the help of obviously a night guard when I was sleeping and some like massage therapy, in my shoulders and, but also in my mouth, like on my jaw, the headaches went away. So I was just wondering, I think that happens a lot. I've found with people I've talked to and just friends that have walked through grief that when someone close to you passes, you sort of start to feel how fragile your life is and get really scared. And so just wondering in your experience, what are some things you might suggest that might ease that piece too? Like the fear and anxiety, but also maybe just like physical pain, like that people might be in that could calm those kinds of nerves.
Mm-hmm. I'd probably circle back to my last answer and say yeah. Very similar things that the homeopathic and approach in acupuncture get to those emotional roots.
Yeah.
And that would be a helpful approach. I had something similar to you where it wasn't a moment of grief, but it was an accident that I had in a car. And my mind then just started rolling that, oh my gosh, why did this happen? And it was interesting that I thought, okay, I too had a brain tumor and I don't know where this anxiety came from. I think a lot of it might've been surfaced because as a mother, you know, you don't want to leave your children behind.
Right.
So this small, really quite mild accident spiraled out of control. So for me, I knew that anxiety, I knew I did not have a brain tumor, but you know, your logic sometimes overrides your heart or vice versa. Mm-hmm. So I actually had a great medical doctor who said, you know, I'm pretty confident this tumor didn't cause what your accident. So she was accommodating and ordered, you know, tests to help me ease my mind. And that was all clear. And then I needed to move forward, realizing I still had these experiences of anxiety, worrying about my health and leaving my children behind, that I found an amazing psychotherapist, and I worked quite diligently and a lot of hard work with EMDR. Mm-hmm. And that's tremendously helpful and a life changer for me to get really at the root of where that anxiety and panic was coming from. And that then brought up a whole bunch of other emotions of grief and loss elsewhere in my life previous that just all kind of rolled into this big snowball effect. So psychotherapy played a big role for me as well. And that's more of a long haul kind of approach to acute situations, but one that I really want people to consider in addition to all the physical supportive strategies that someone like myself has to offer.
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned you went to your MD, like your normal doctor. So how, just out of curiosity, how do you find the best way to sort of blend the two worlds, like the sort of more naturopathic world with the more Western medicine?
There's a difference between the vision of collaborative care, which I see value in all the different types of medicine, whether it's acute, urgent crisis care, where it's more palliative care, naturopathic or functional, and mental health. So I value them all. I do have a medical doctor. I have a psychotherapist. I'm just confident I know whose help I need and what their strengths are at. In practice, collaborative care isn't working. There's still a great big divide and division between, I feel, us and them, right? NDs versus MDs. And I really don't like that feeling because there's things that I know that they don't. There's things that MDs know that I don't. We have different skill sets. And so I really think if we could find a way to blend that together, that we'd be best serving the people sitting in front of us, right? And in their health goals. So my vision is very different than actual practice right now. But
And if someone doesn't know what to do or what to start with, I guess, particularly after grief, if they're struggling with these sort of more anxious, maybe fear, sadness, depression, those kinds of things, in your opinion, if they don't know where to start, where would you start? Like, would you start with a more ND approach, or would you start with psychotherapy, or would you, like, what would be just from a general perspective?
Yeah. First, I mean, everyone needs an ND and you can't go wrong, right? Just like everyone needs an MD, a psychotherapist, I feel, a chiropractor, a massage therapist, a life coach. I think we all should or do need them.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable starting with a naturopathic doctor, especially like speaking for myself. I have the personal experience, not just now, but in losing other loved ones as well, that, and I'm clear with people, I'm not a mental health expert. I kind of scratch the surface with the things to support the physical mind, the biochemistry for positive mood, but I'm not a psychotherapist. And so I'm very clear that when I do think it's important to reach out, and I do have personal connections to people as well, but there's only so far that naturopathic medicine in our tool set could take you if it's, you know, deeper lying conflict or grief. So sometimes homeopathy, acupuncture helps bring that to the surface, but I often don't know what to do with that. So I'd like to have a mental health expert on board so that when these things come up, that we have someone that can help them walk through it and kind of tidy it up with a bow, so they're not left feeling, okay, what now?
Right.
At the end of every good therapy session, you're always leaving, hopefully feeling better than when you came in, right?
Of course. Yeah. Well, that's great advice. And I feel like that's sort of the way I operate too, is like start the natural route, then like you can waver either way, but at least you've started somewhere that's not so intense, physically, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then from a diet perspective, I didn't, and I'm sure most didn't want to eat. It's just not a conscious choice. It's just like not in your realm of thinking. So do you have any thoughts on diet and what we should be trying to achieve to at least stay physically healthy? And then further to that, if someone has experienced a loss and it's just not on their mind, maybe a couple healthy options, like quick options. So if people don't want to think about food, what would be good to sort of just feed them physically without a ton of prep or mind work?
And I think there's a difference there between, okay, here's my ideal naturopathic recommendations of,
right,
eat, you know, organic and meal prep and lots of protein and healthy fats. Well, you're not in that mind space. So the ideal is, okay, have these lovely nutrient dense meals, but what's the reality is I'm happy at first if you just eat, right?
Okay.
And as you're moving forward and feeling stronger and more resilient in your journey, okay, now let's pay more attention to maybe the macro and micronutrients. So I want people to just eat, and I don't mean like, okay, go to the drive-through, but you know, if you're, and maybe this kind of ties into part B, is, you know, if you're making smoothies or you're, you know, juicing or buying juices, you know, muffins, anything really to just keep your body going would be important at first, rather than paying attention to the fine balance of what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
So again, tying into, you know, if you don't feel like eating well, sometimes smoothies or shakes can go down easier, or juices, something a little bit lighter, so that you're still feeding your body so that you can move forward and recover.
Right. And if someone is, again, supporting someone and wants to drop off like a food option, what are a couple of things that would be good, healthy options that could feed them without, again, a ton of prep work on their part?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think like any kind of soup, any kind of stews. I mean, you can do nice big batch cooking, right? A big old crock pot. And, you know, if you're able to, you could always, as the giver, you know, portion them. And so they can just slide them right into the freezer. Because most times, most soups and stews, they don't really have a lot of junky parts to them. They mm-hmm. tend to be very vegetable rich, or we've got, you know, the meat proteins. We've got the complex carbs like beans and chickpeas. So it's really hard to make, I think, an unhealthy soup. There doesn't tend to be a lot of sugar, right, or refined added stuff. So I think soups and stews could be great, because then they also, like I said, compartmentalize well to freeze and then take out quite easily. Muffins, I'm all about the muffins too. You can pack lots of things into muffins and do big batch cooking. So again, they can just put a bunch into their freezer. I'm just thinking of my granny when, after my grandpa passed away, her appetite pretty much the remainder of her life had disappeared. But her bran muffins, right? She always had an appetite for bran muffins. Probably wouldn't have picked the bran, but at least she was eating. But it makes me think of, okay, muffins could be a great way to pack in a bunch of nutrients, as well as being easy to prep and then batch cooking. So you can just pull them out as you need to, and they're kind of light on the appetite too.
Yeah, no, those are great options. And then I so it's like kind of moving off of super duper grief specific, but a lot of people that I've talked to are walking through infertility or pregnancy and infant loss. And I know a lot of your clientele are women who are wanting to improve their fertility or lessen their chances of a loss. So I was just wondering, for those women that are listening, what are some of your thoughts on that and some advice that maybe you could offer?
Well, as a naturopathic doctor, it's kind of in literally in our philosophy of care to investigate, address, and treat the root causes. So I'm always really interested in pursuing the reasons why women may not be conceiving or not being able to continue a pregnancy past a certain day. And there's more subtleties to it. So I always look at, you know, are there hormonal causes? And it's not just, you know, I often hear, oh, I took progesterone. Well, there's a whole complex balance of hormones and how are they working together? Because progesterone maybe is just, you know, the saxophone in the band, but we have to consider the whole band, how they work together. Looking at vitamins and minerals, right? This is something that may get glazed over in the Western model, but vitamin D is super important. So we know there's lots of vitamins that may be lacking or not optimal. Environmental toxins as well, you know, things that are in our plastics and our air. We know that when these are higher in women, when we measure them in things like the blood, urine, that may be a risk factor for things like recurrent loss and fertility as well. So these are all things that where, again, I think we need a different opinions and viewpoints, because this isn't something a medical doctor would ever learn or consider, but it is very valid. So if we're seeing both, then we can get different perspectives on the whys of things, why might be happening.
Right.
So yeah. Looking at nutrients, looking at dietary strategies as well, and also including the partner, right? Because it's a 50-50 contribution if we're working with a male and female partner.
Yeah.
As often the men get forgotten, even if they've gone through fertility clinic, right? Oh, their sample was fine. Well, there's a lot more underneath that we don't test for that we could work towards optimizing, because I'm not just about surviving. I want people to thrive, right? And I think in general, medicine has set the bar very low to, oh, let's just get to another day, right? Whereas people to set the bar high, and we want optimal health, not just okay.
And so you mentioned fertility treatments. So is there anything different about going through fertility treatments? Would you recommend someone see a naturopath first or throughout their treatment? And what kind of things would they assist with and when?
Yeah. Really, you can start seeing a naturopath at any point. It just depends how far along you are in trying to grow your family. I would always, of course, say, yes, see a naturopathic doctor first, because often there's subtle changes that can have big impacts that we can avoid the kind of clinical atmosphere of a fertility clinic, where a lot of women will report to me that, you know, it feels like a number, or it feels very routine, it's very impersonalized. So if there's a point where we can take some time to avoid going into that scenario with a more naturopathic approach, great, let's do that. But you can really bring an ND into your care at any point. There's lots of great evidence to show that acupuncture, clinical supplementation can enhance IUIs, IVFs, or any of those types of combinations of procedures. So it's working towards supporting and enhancing the success of any fertility treatments if someone comes to me at that point and we haven't met earlier.
And then I guess further to that, sorry, lots of extra questions. With all the sort of drugs, I guess, that you're being pumped into your system when you're going through IVF, I can imagine as someone that's been through loss and also IVF, that that does contribute to a certain amount of anxiety, right? Thinking, oh, this might give me a baby, but it might make me sick. So are there things that we can do to sort of help make that feel less intense, or like you're doing something to support your body so it's not going to have such a negative effect?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is where making sure that, you know, our detoxification pathways are working at top notch, because you're right, there's a lot of pharmaceuticals that can be used that just are very hard for the body and unnatural for the body to try and work through. So working, you know, with liver support, you know, cleaning up the diet, acupuncture, all those things can help mitigate some of the side effects of the medications.
So right. Absolutely. Okay, cool. Well, where can people find you if they're local and they wanted to connect?
Yeah, so I work my office hours out of the Waterdown Village Chiropractic and Wellness Group in, I guess you'd say downtown Waterdown, Ontario. I'm pretty central. Our location's pretty central. So most of my families that I work with are from Waterdown, Hamilton, Burlington. Since the onset of last March and the pandemic and the new recommendations and restrictions, I have a virtual option. So if someone is not local or is virtual schooling with their child and can't get away, I have the virtual option as well to do video or phone. So that's been a small blessing that I found is to do virtual. You can also stay connected on a regular basis on Facebook. I have a business page, Dr. Carly Wendler, ND. So you can find me on Facebook where I share lots of easy recipes, health tips, kind of that thing to stay connected. And then I do have a website, www.drcarlywendlernd.com. And that's more about my services. It's got my location and contact information, and it gives you a couple pages on some of my areas of focus. So women's health, fertility, pregnancy and birth, postpartum, and pediatrics are my passions. I see, you know, anyone that wants to work with me in naturopathic medicine, but those are my areas of passion.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. This has been really helpful and really great for me too, is particularly the last bit. As you talked about fertility, it's really interesting and nice to hear.
Great.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing your story too.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, no problem.